Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
At Maximum Mediocrity, people say things like,
I don't dress like this on the regular basis. This isn't my, you know, pooping uniform. This is not
And they also say things like,
The nurses are usually either angels of mercy or whores.
Every episode is a new experience where you get to know people that aren't famous but should be.
Why am I facing Floyd Mayweather in the woods?
My co-host Morgan and I track down the people you didn't know you needed to hear from.
It's like hot sex in a mug.
We are the Maximum Mediocrity Podcast, and we are on all major podcasting platforms. We'll be waiting for you.
It wasn't my intention to mislead you. It never should have been.
This week, we're joined by my good friend Joey Ritter to discuss Martika, a Kids Incorporated success story who scored a number one hit with her heavy single, Toy Soldiers. The song serves as a vague cautionary tale about the dangers of cocaine addiction, but it's hard to interpret how Martika herself factors into the equation. Is she the voice of reason, or was she at any point the voice encouraging a friend to enjoy another key bump? We'd assume she was the sensible one, but one viewing of her intense dancing and some other music videos left us asking questions. Step by step, heart to heart, left, right, left, we all fall down into another great episode of One Hit Thunder.
One hit is all you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever.
And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it one hit thunder?
All right, Joey, you're finally on the pod, and we're here to talk Martika. I got to ask you, what is your background with Martika? Did you grow up listening to Martika? Was it something you discovered later?
So it all came from a text message conversation I was having with producer Matt, just trying to pick a song. And I actually locked in another song that I won't mention because I'm sure it's going to appear on the podcast at some point. But it came out the exact same summer of 89. And as I was starting to kind of jot notes down about that song, Toy Soldiers just kind of came to the forefront, and I said, ooh, what? And then I texted Matt back and said, well, what about Martika Toy Soldiered? And he almost Matt Kelly'd me and said, you know, he screenshotted some Wikipedia other,
yeah,
you know, charting songs.
Yeah.
And Fafalius was the overruler.
Yeah, I overruled it because this is the only song people remember, and we can credit Eminem a little bit for that too. Eminem gave this song a little bit of a resurgence past riding with my mom in her car and her having this album. My mom was actually a Martika fan, at least enough to buy her cassette and listen to it in her Chrysler LeBaron. So I have a little bit of a background with Martika as well.
That's interesting because this song is a very elementary school, maybe high school, a song, I would think, more so than it crossing over to adults. But maybe, you know, if your mom is rocking it, then
you know how those elementary school kids love songs about cocaine addiction. Yeah.
Keep in mind, my mom was 33 at the time this song came out. So my mom was a good bit younger than I am right now when she was rocking this song. I thought it was really cool. And I don't know if either of you guys grew up with it at all, but I loved Kids Incorporated when I was a little kid. It would come on very early in the morning on Saturday mornings, and I could catch it every once in a while. But I loved it. I think it was one of my first, I don't know, exposure to people playing music. So Martika coming from that made me like her even a little bit more.
Kids Incorporated, it's weird because I definitely remember watching it, but it's one of those shows where I look at the years that it was active, and I guess I was watching it in syndication because I think it was canceled before I was born. But like, yeah, they just kept it going for a while. It's kind of like that show in the Mickey Mouse Club. Like, so many semi-famous people stemmed out of those two shows, or at least people who had like these moments of popularity for a little bit were part of that scene.
Did you watch Kids Incorporated, Joey?
Big time, yeah. I mean, she was fantastic on that show. I mean, I know Fergie was on there too, and she was great. And she, you know, I think was on for the whole run of the show, but Martika, no matter who was singing, no matter who was performing, your eye was just always on her. And I don't mean that in a creepy way. I just mean, you know, the way she danced, the way that even when she sang back up, she just was the star power of that show as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and we'll get into her dancing. Her dancing is wild, and it is a big part of the Martika experience. You can't forget, Joey, that also on Kids Incorporated was Mario Lopez.
Lopez and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, Jennifer Love Hewitt was on it too. Wow. So back to Martika. She went on from Kids Incorporated. She had an uncredited role as one of the girls in Annie, you know, the movie version of Annie. Mm-hmm. And then she and some of her Kids Incorporated fellow members were featured in several musical numbers from the Mr. T motivational video, Be Somebody.
Be Somebody or Be Somebody's Fool. Yes.
In 1984. So if she's doing this in 1984, Matt, I think I'm in the same boat as you. Any Kids Incorporated I was watching was after the fact. They were still replaying the episodes. Because I was like, why when I was a kid did I not try to be on Kids Incorporated? It was probably because they weren't making it anymore by the time
it went into syndication in 84, and then Disney Channel ran the syndication from 85 to 94. So that was definitely, I was watching it in syndication for sure. And Chris, I'm glad that you brought up the Mr. T thing, because just to quickly give a shout out to the Patreon page, as soon as I read that, I was like, all right, Patreon bonus episode is Chris and I are 100% going to watch that Mr. T special, because you can find it on YouTube and discuss it, because that thing is wild.
Well,
I have
that,
a blue.
Is that what Mother is from?
Mother's from that.
Nice.
It does one of my favorite things in like bad rap songs from that time period, which is spelling out the word but rapping it. Where it's like M is for the way.
Yeah, and also I like in. Did they actually do this in any rap songs, or was just this just when someone was doing their impression of rap in the 80s? Always starts with my name is blank and I'm here to say. was that a thing that ever actually happened in a rap song, or was that just something that people did like parodying rap songs?
The closest I can come up with is like Run DMC had a lot of those things where it's like, maybe not, you know, and I'm here to say, but it's like, my name's DMC, the all-time great, I bust the most rhymes in New York State.
Okay, like, here to say though things like, you know, I was going to make us do them on the spot, but you know, my on the spot would be, my name is Chris and I'm here to say, I love Martika in a major way. I'm here with Joey to talk about her. I trapped myself in a corner. I will not be in a freestyle competition anytime soon, but
I'm trying to think. All right, I'm thinking on the spot here.
Gotta start without my name is Matt.
So my name is Matt and I'm here to say that I love podcasting every day.
Joey, you got one? We're putting you on the spot.
I think we'll end on producer Matt.
Okay, all right, fine. Let's get back to Martika. Okay, so her first single, and I think this is really funny. Her first single after, you know, she's going solo, was a song called We Are Music, which was released under Martika and the We Are's, and it was released in Japan. And I think it's really funny because, like, that's almost wrong to say We Are Music. That's almost like something that you would see a Japanese artist singing in English, and you'd be like, oh, that's funny, that's grammatically incorrect. You know, I saw lots of stuff like that when I was in Japan, but it's like, she did that. She should know better. We Are Music. That doesn't really make sense. It's I listened to the song. It was all right. it was pretty, you know, electronic pop.
So that's what she did, you're saying, between Kids Incorporated and her first solo album that Toy Soldiers
was
on?
Yes.
Okay. I was wondering that, because there was a 2-year gap there.
So we can get into the song Toy Soldiers in a second, but when I think about this song, you saw the movie Toy Soldiers as well, right?
I did not.
I have not.
Okay. I don't know why I remember this movie. Someone at a sleepover when I was a kid rented this movie, and I was shocked to find out that the song Toy Soldiers does not in fact appear in the movie Toy Soldiers that came out just 2 years later, which starred Sean Astin, Will Wheaton, and Louis Gossett Jr.
Wow.
And it is like a action movie kind of in the same realm as like a Red Dawn, but it revolves around an all-male boarding school that gets overtaken by terrorists.
Oh, I
and a group of rebellious, mischievous students decide to use their prankster skills to fight the terrorists and save the school.
I can see the trailer. Yeah.
Well, Matt, this may come as a surprise to you, but Martika did not, in fact, invent the concept of toy soldiers.
No, I'm just saying, it's 2 years after the single came out. You think that they would capitalize on like trying to get that song in the movie?
Yeah, she had to wait for Eminem for that. Does this song give you guys a vibe at all with those background kid vocals of sort of being like Nightmare on Elm Street?
Oh my, Chris.
I put this song on my horror mixes. At Halloween time, I put this on my Halloween mixes because there's something haunting about the way this song is.
Yeah.
So I have it on my notes here. I wanted to do some market research in 2022. I wanted a fresh set of ears to listen to Toy Soldiers. So I had my 10-year-old daughter, who I think was the perfect age. So she listened to it. She gave it an 85 out of 100. And I said, okay,
wow.
Well, what were the points off for? And she said, exactly what you just said. The kids, he had just watched Nightmare on Elm Street this past Halloween, and she said it was creepy and reminded her of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, this song, though, it's very serious sounding, and I guess one thing I didn't research at all was the subject matter of the song. I mean, these verses, I don't know if you guys are familiar with, it was a very minor hit for Madonna, but it was a song called Oh Father. Are you guys familiar with that song at all? Mm-hmm. It's a very serious song, which sounds like maybe her father was abusive or something. I don't mean to assume that, but it just kind of had that vibe. And this song kind of puts me in the same mood as that song. But were you saying that this song was about cocaine?
Yeah, so here's the exact quote from Martika. She wrote the song about a friend who was battling cocaine addiction. I was a little hesitant because I had only written 2 songs before it, and they were both very light poppy songs. Came up to the producer, Michael, and I said I wanted to write a song about drug addiction. It was the first time that I got the nerve to write about something that scared me so much. And then Wikipedia also said, according to the episode of Pop-Up Video in which Toy Soldiers was featured, the friend in question did eventually conquer their addiction. So it has a positive.
But this ties in perfectly. If you remember in the mid to late 80s, the Nancy Reagan Just Say No campaign, I don't know if that reached Belle Vernon, but
in
the greater Philadelphia region, the Just Say No was all over the place. And I was 100% convinced that I would be walking home from school and somebody would offer me crack. Like they had me hook, line, and sinker. You'd come home, you'd watch Tiny Toon Adventures on TV, and there'd be a commercial about cereal, there'd be a commercial about G.I. Joes, and then the scariest possible drug commercial.
I remember being in elementary school and there being days like when that whole Just Say No campaign started, that they gathered our entire class together to watch the Cartoon Rescue, All-Stars to the Rescue special,
yep,
where it's like Garfield and the Smurfs and like Kermit and Piggy save a kid from cocaine addiction.
And just Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles, not the
rest. Only Michelangelo makes the cut in that.
But as we all know, the Just Say No campaign completely worked. So
yes, no, there's no drugs anywhere now.
That cured drugs. But I was very surprised when you told me, because I didn't look this up. I thought you were going to tell me that Martika used cocaine, because if you watched any of her other videos, you'll see her dancing like a fucking maniac. And I would assume that she was doing lots and lots of cocaine before she made these videos, but apparently not.
But the lyrics even kind of imply that she might, because like, I was thinking about that when I was typing up the lyrics for the notes, but it says, like, how can I be so blind to this addiction? Like, I get that. Like, okay, I didn't realize he was addicted. But then the line is, if I don't stop, the next one's gonna be me, which sounds like she's also doing a whole lot of cocaine.
Yeah, I'm telling you, go watch those music videos. She dances so feverishly.
It's like I'm so excited episode of Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, except she doesn't stop and cry. She just keeps going with the dancing. Very, very hard. I'm not kidding. I'm not saying that Martika is necessarily the best dancer, but I don't know. This is serious. I might be, because Michael Jackson and people that dance really well, you know, they're like effortless in it. You know, it looks like they're not like exercising really hard, but when you watch Martika dance, wow.
Yeah, she's really trying. She's putting it in.
Dancing hard. And yeah, but we'll get to that. Yeah, interesting. I mean, I do like this song. I guess it's that chorus is really good.
Yeah, I feel like the verses in this song could take him or leave him. If you just gave me a song that was just 10 straight minutes of the chorus and that step by step heart to heart part just like looped over and over and over again, I'd be like, this song fucking rules. I just need the kids choir saying, "Won't you come out and play with me?" and the chorus. That's all.
Yeah.
Well, I think the pre-chorus is great. Only emptiness remains. It replaces all the pain. Like, that's, I don't know. I love that part. But it's just, yeah, it's her vocals. It's
only
the passion.
Emptiness remains. Oh, yeah. I forgot about the pre-chorus. You skipped right over the melody of it. I'm like, damn, what's he talking about?
Also,
oh, that's good.
I mean, shout out to the fact that she did co-write this song. Like, she co-wrote this song with Michael J., who also did some songs for Celine Dion. It's a good ass. That chorus and pre-chorus is fucking phenomenal. It's really good.
So here's what I find the most fascinating, and one of the reasons that I just wanted to talk about it is basically this song evaporated from my life for a good 20 years. So the summer of 89, I'm 7 going on 8. I can tell you more about 1989 than I can about 2013. It just was a prominent summer in my life. It's the summer that Batman and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids came out.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I remember going to see Batman pulling up and seeing a line from the box office 100 yards out on the parking lot. You're never going to see that again anywhere. But, you know, so I listened to the song like crazy that summer. And then, you know, as you kind of move into the 90s, like that song didn't make it to the 90s. I think she was just maybe 2 years kind of past where she should have been. If this song came out in 86 or 87, I don't think we'd be on a one-hit wonder podcast talking about it. It just had such an 80s sound to it that, you know, the decade was just about to change. And it's like, you know, all aboard the 90s train. Sorry, Martika, we got to leave you in the 80s.
Nirvana came along and wiped out hair metal and Martika. Sorry, Martika.
Exactly. So because of all that, you know, when Napster comes out and burning CDs, like I never downloaded Toy Soldiers. I never thought about it. It wasn't until the streaming platforms to where the song kind of popped up again and instantly took me back to that summer and just made me feel so good. I don't know. I love the song.
See, and I discovered the song in college because I was 4 when this was at its peak of popularity. So I missed the Martika train when it was when everyone was boarding it. But when I was in college, my friend Lorelai loved this song. And I would bring like my speakers and my laptop for whenever she was having a party. And she was like, hey, can you download the song Toy Soldiers? And as soon as the first time I heard it, I was like, this song fucking rules. And then it pretty much stayed in my rotation from that point on.
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com.
By now, I'm sure you've at least heard about Factor, but if you haven't tried it yet, let me tell you as a guy who loves it. Now is the time. Enjoy stress-free dining this spring with Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes. With 35 weekly options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie, plus over 60 add-ons, you'll stay fueled and feel fantastic all day long. Don't wait. Fuel up for your spring goals today with Factor. Factor offers you chef-prepared meals ready in just 2 minutes, so you can spend more time doing what you love this spring. Indulge in gourmet options like filet mignon, shrimp, and fresh veggies without the hassle of prep or cleanup. Customize your weekly meals to fit your schedule perfectly and enjoy the convenience of Factor's no-fuss, no-mess approach. Plus, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long with Factor's low-carbon footprint options. Factor is your go-to solution for fast, premium meals, eliminating the need for cooking and empowering you to savor every moment. So head to factormeals.com/onehit50 and use the code onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code onehit50, the words one hit and the number 50, at factormeals.com/onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out weknowpodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, weknowpodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
We're here to entertain you. We'll sing your songs.
Hey there. Are you obsessed with things that happened before your time? Well, if you are, join me, the host of Before My Time, Gelsey Lori, to discuss the wonders of the yesteryears that we weren't around to enjoy ourselves. You can find us on all podcast platforms.
Soon you'll be swaying, so come on, sing along.
Toy Soldiers is a legit hit. A lot of songs that we cover on here don't actually go to number one. They're popular. Maybe they're in the top 20, maybe top 40 for some. But Toy Soldiers was the number one song for 2 weeks in 1989. A true hit.
And I want to just highlight what Martika blew past to hit to that number one. Number two, Prince, Bat Dance was...
Wow, I was just going to talk about the Bat Dance. Yeah, okay, nice.
So Bat Dance was happening. Express Yourself by Madonna was at number three.
Wow.
Bobby Brown, On Your Own, was at number five.
On Our Own from the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack. We talk about that song every episode. Wow.
And number six, I just threw this in there. Usually I just focus on the top five, but I don't know when I'll ever get to mention Simply Red's If You Don't Know Me By Now.
Ooh.
What a song. I love that
song. You will never, ever, ever know me. Yeah, that's impressive. Madonna, Prince, and Bobby Brown.
Yep.
She leapfrogged all of them to go to number one. That is pretty impressive.
Chris, she basically had Sidney Crosby's rookie year and nothing else. Like, she killed it in the minors with Kids Incorporated. Gets to the NHL at 18 years old, puts up a 100-point season, and that's pretty much it.
And that was it, man. Yeah, then she got a career-ending injury, and that injury was the 90s.
Yeah, the injury was grunge. I want to talk about some of the other songs that she actually got on the charts, because she had a song called The More You Know, which...
It's More Than You Know.
Oh, sorry, More Than You Know. I was going to say, that is some 80s-ass shit if it's The More You Know.
Well... I want people listening to take note of More Than You Know is look up the YouTube, the music video of it. This is the most late 80s music video imaginable. And she dances really hard in this video. This is a prime example of Martika's intense dancing. Proceed.
The other thing I wanted to call out is that her other charting single off this self-titled album was a cover of Carole King's I Feel the Earth Move. And I only want to bring that up because I've been on a weird Carole King tapestry kick this week.
Love it.
It's such a good album. You get the Gilmore Girls theme song in there.
Yeah, that's one of the worst songs, but okay,
probably. But you get I Feel the Earth Move. You get the original version of You Need a Friend. Like, what a perfect singer-songwriter album.
You're forgetting the Doesn't Anybody Stay in One Place Anymore.
Carole
That's
King
like one
rules.
Of the best songs ever.
If you have HBO Max, there is a concert film that they uploaded last month that's just James Taylor and Carole King on stage just playing songs and talking about their history as like best friends in the music industry. And it's just wholesome and charming. So if you need an hour and a half to just listen to good tunes and feel good about James Taylor and Carole King being best friends, that's your documentary recommendation for this episode.
Well, speaking of concert films, Matt, the music video for Martika's version of I Feel the Earth Move is like live concert footage, more really hard dancing. But watch that video, and it's like Martika's the lead singer of like a punk band. She's like rocking out hard, like up in the bass player's face, like licking the strings. Not really, but basically like she really puts on a good live show. Watch that video. Although in her cover, she definitely does that thing that sometimes female singers do. And this is the second episode in a row where I'm going to talk about Kermit the Frog. But she gets that like Kermit quality in her voice for like one word. I put my notes. It's when she says the word down, like Scott Cumberland down. Like, I can't really do it, but I know you guys know what I'm talking about. The sky's tumbling down.
Also, I'm watching. I have the I Feel the Earth Move video playing on my phone right now. And you are not over exaggerating on like, you could put like Blitzkrieg Bop underneath this and the video would still sync up and make total sense. Like,
yeah. Martika brought it. I'm telling you. It's all that Kids Incorporated training. Those kids, you know, they were cracking the whip over at Kids Incorporated.
Solid
Canadians
album.
Don't fuck around. They're like,
there's a lot of good dance songs. I mean, you know, it's the ballad that was the hit, but that self-titled album, Feel the Earth Move, Water is a song, Tarzan and Jane, Cross My Heart was a good one. That was the only album I listened to start to finish.
I read this fact, and I feel like it's both funny and kind of sad, but in 1990, as we were talking about, the 90s kind of just threw Martika to the side. Her manager was like, maybe you should write some songs for movies. So she wrote and recorded a song with a terrible title called Blue Eyes Are Sensitive to the Light for the Jeff Daniels, John Goodman killer spider movie Arachnophobia.
Wow.
And the producers liked the song but didn't like Martika's vocals, so they just had someone else sing it for the soundtrack.
Did you listen to it, though?
No.
I listened to both versions, and there's no discernible difference. I mean, there's no reason not to like Martika's vocals in the original, because what they went with was just nothing more special.
I was also kind of confused, because I have never heard of this song, but it appears that it has been covered a lot, like three or four different artists, none of which I've heard of, but like three or four artists have decided to cover this Blue Eyes Are Sensitive to the Light song. So, I mean, I guess she's getting some residuals for writing that one, I guess. Good for Martika.
Can we talk about the 90s hitting and where Martika went from there?
You mean yes. Right into the bat dance arms of Prince?
Well, yeah, she did have a song that Prince wrote, which I don't like that song.
No.
Well, there was a couple. Which one in particular?
The Love Thy Be Done or whatever?
Yeah. That song, it means she's got a beautiful voice, the video's soothing or whatever, but that song feels like it's building up to some kind of chorus or crescendo. It just never happens.
So apparently it was a prayer that Martika had written, and Prince was just like, we're going to put that thing to music. And from when I listened to it, that's exactly what it sounds like.
Well, I actually wanted to talk about, I texted both of you guys about this last
yes,
night.
Yes, this music video.
And we got to get into, if anyone's watching this right now, maybe pause the podcast for a second and watch the music video for Colored Kisses from 1991. The 90s hit, Martika realized like, oh no, my style of music is going out the window. So she decided to get way sexier. Colored Kiss is a very sensual song. And I took so many notes. I was sitting here like audibly, I'm by myself. And I'm like out loud yelling things at the screen. It's a very sensual song. She's in a bathtub. That's fine. And it's very safe to assume that at this point in her career, she feels like she wants to express her sexuality. And that's cool. I'm down with that. That's awesome. I'm all about it. There's bubbles in the video.
And then, you know, I'm watching it. You know, you can't really see any nudity. She's under the water. It's fine. And there's bubbles and she's with a man. And then at some point, she puts her finger in the man's mouth. I'm like, whoa, that was a very sexy moment. There was something just like really like over the top about. I know that's not a big deal, but like I found it shocking. When she put her finger in the man's mouth, I was like, okay. And then I was like, damn, she's getting in the tub with the man. I'm like, whoa. And then it was like, the water is like really milky. like that water wasn't that milky before. And then in the milk water, it's a very small tub for two people. And in the milk water, he touches her breast. And I'm like, whoa. And I was like, you know, I'm no prude. I've seen shocking things, but I was like, I wasn't expecting this from the Martika video. By the end, they're basically having sex in this milky water. It is out of control, okay? I love it. I'm not hating on it. I love this video. But the craziest part, I put this in all caps, bunch of exclamation points. But they're in this milky sex water. And then at the end of the video, he spits out a stream of the milky sex water, which means they have sex in this water. It's very milky. Aside from the sex, two humans are in this water. He puts the water in his mouth and spits out some white water from his mouth. I'm just like, this is so over the top. I loved every minute of it. If I was anywhere on the fence with Martika, I was like, man, I love Martika at this point.
Yeah.
And the song wasn't bad either.
It's a bummer because the album that it appeared on, Martika's Kitchen, did not perform really well at all. And really, shortly after that, she kind of walked away. Like, she had a band briefly with her husband, but for the most part, she just kind of lives a quiet life in Ohio. Like, just being a wife.
Well, Ohio?
Yeah.
After all that, she went to Ohio?
Yeah, Dayton.
No. Dayton? She lives in Dayton? She lives in the same town as Night Beast? I gotta text him and tell him to go hang out with Martika.
No, I appreciate the tip on Colored Kisses video because I would not have, that wouldn't have come across my radar. But I think we need to recast the guy in the video. I didn't think he was that cool. Like, he looked good without his shirt, I suppose. And he was laying next to the bathtub. And I like the move where she puts her leg over and gives him a little foot bop. You know, that's not happening in my marriage. So I was totally turned on. But I think, like, at the same time, Matt LeBlanc was doing the Diet Coke commercial where, you know, he's in construction and all the office women look at Matt LeBlanc, take a sip of Diet Coke. If we can recast that guy with Matt LeBlanc, I think.
Oh, okay. I mean, I do think it makes sense, though. Like, when I was looking at that video, I was shocked that this was pre-Reality Bites because it had a real Ethan Hawke in Reality Bites vibe with the casting. I mean, I guess it depends on when in 91, but this is still, I feel like, just slightly pre-slacker chic.
Look, the only qualifications for this video were, will you take your shirt off? Will you swallow some of Martika's bathwater?
I mean, are you trying to say that there wasn't a lot of applicants? Because I would imagine there probably was plenty.
That's something people definitely say, like, I'll drink her bathwater. You think a lot of guys were saying, I drink Martika's bathwater?
I'm pretty sure No Doubt wrote a whole song about that concept.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's very true.
So, I mean, do we want to break down the lyrics? Obviously, the chorus, we kind of, there's nothing really to really break down step by step, heart to heart.
What's going on lyrically? It wasn't my intention to mislead you. It never should have been this way. What can I say? It's true, I did extend the invitation. I never knew how long you'd stay. When you hear temptation call, it's your heart that takes the fall.
Great line.
Won't you come out and play with me?
Yo, hold on a second.
How is this about cocaine?
No, I have a really crazy theory right now based on that second verse. It's true, I did extend the invitation, but I never knew how long you'd stay. Was Martika the one that introduced cocaine to this guy's life and didn't realize that he would get so hooked?
Back up. I have an even crazier theory. I'm taking you one step further, Matt. is this song written from the perspective of cocaine?
Oh my like, God.
The personification of cocaine? I think it is.
I mean, that's an interesting theory. I don't know that that's true, but that's, I like it. I mean, did you watch the music video?
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of tells the story. She's a schoolgirl, and then she's an older schoolgirl, and then the guy with the leather jacket is going to come and, you know, make things bad, and they kind of struggle, and I guess he dies at the end because she puts roses on his grave.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. Was the guy with the cocaine, or was the guy with the leather jacket supposed to be the personification of cocaine and is beating the addiction when the guy in the leather jacket? I really want this to be written from the perspective of cocaine, because I will like the song a whole lot more if that's the case. I think that's amazing.
I think we've talked about this on a previous episode, or maybe you and I just had a conversation one time when I was in Pittsburgh for like a marathon recording session. I do love songs written from the perspective of the drug. There's only a handful of them, but they are pretty dope when they do happen.
I think you got something here, because the only line in the song I don't really understand is, "Won't you come out and play with me?" I'm trying to like connect that. I thought that was, you know, her younger self sort of, you know, just being reminded of being a child. But if it's told as the drug, then it's cocaine saying, "Won't you come out and play with me?"
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. That 100% makes sense. Cocaine, a little line of cocaine standing up with little eyes and a mouth, and I picture a little top hat. Let's come out and play with me. I mean, why not? Aside from that, guys, I've wanted to do this forever in my own music. I feel like it has to be done at some point. Using a kid's choir in a song, when is it not awesome?
Dude,
it is always awesome.
I think I introduced you to this when we did the Halloween songs episode, but there's that like that Dead Man's Body project that's literally just Ryan Gosling and a children's choir doing music together, and it is the perfect fall album. Like, it's just so cool and spooky. Like, I agree with you. If you have the opportunity to throw a children's choir on a chorus or something of a song, you should do it, because it always sounds great.
Like, I mean, think about like Jay-Z, Hard Knock Life.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's sampling Annie, which, holy shit, if that is sampling the movie Annie, there's a chance that Martika is on Jay-Z, Hard Knock Life. Whoa, we are connecting some dots here. I love that Rocket Summer, What We Hate, We Make song, if you happen to know that, as the kids choir in it. I love,
all the kids usually, pop albums.
You can't go wrong with that. You can't go wrong from writing from the perspective of cocaine. This is good. What else? Who would do a good cover of this? Now, Eminem did sample it, but who's going to cover Toy Soldiers and Knock It Out of the Park?
All right. So this ran through my head for a split second when we were joking around about like how Nirvana showed up, and it was like, sorry, hair metal and Martika, but the 90s don't need you right now. I think Stone Temple Pilots. I was like, I needed to figure out which grunge band. I think Stone Temple Pilots, during the like third album Tiny Music era, where they were going a little bit more psychedelic, could do a really weird version of Toy Soldiers.
I'm not hearing that at all, but I mean, I love to hear it, but
I can't even picture it. I can't even imagine it.
I know. That's how unique that cover is.
Okay. All right. I'm thinking more, you know, how has Billie Eilish not done it yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
She would absolutely crush it. She would annihilate it.
I mean, I think you get Paramore, you could get Miley Cyrus. Yeah. I mean, those are obvious choices.
Miley could do a really good version of this too. I
don't want to hear Miley do it. I think Miley's cool, but man, I just am not. Other than Party in the USA, that song's kind of undeniable. I'm just never feeling Miley.
Oh,
songs.
Really? I was, when Bangers came out, that's when I took notice. I love that We Can't Stop song.
Yeah, that one's all right. I just, every time I hear something by her, I'm like, I think she's pretty cool. I just don't like her songs.
Yeah. I mean, her cover of Jolene, though, top tier cover song.
Sure. She's a good singer.
Yeah.
I'm not denying she's a good singer. She's no Martika.
No.
So did you guys get really later in her career? Like, you know, well, first of all, in the year 2000-ish, She appeared on VH1's Where Are They Now, which I always wonder what the conversation's like between her manager and the artist. Like, hey, we got an interview for you. Oh, great. What is it? Oh, it's VH1's Where Are They Now. But she was so professional on it. You know, she said she took a break in the 90s. She always had people doing things like her laundry, and now she's, you know, she needed to kind of learn life for herself, and now she's getting back to music. So she was on that episode, but she did a duo with her husband in 2003. I guess it's called Opera, but it's with two P's, O-P-P-E-R-A.
Yeah.
Guys, there's a song called Why. It's off the album Violence, which is also spelled incorrectly, but it's like, that is a hit song. The song is called Why. It's track two. Listen to that song. It's very, very good on first listen.
Wow.
Yeah, the thing I read about Opera was that they referred to it as like a Latin pop band. Does that sound accurate or not even close?
Well, it's very early 2000s. It's kind of like Natasha Bedingfield, like Liz Ooh. Phair's poppy album Ooh. That she had. You can get yourself there.
Right.
And the album cover, you know, talking about Martika's sexiness, she's like in a bondage outfit, tied up, about to get a knife thrown at her. So, you know.
Wow. I don't know. I guess we're here. We're here, and I kind of feel like there's not much doubt about this. I mean, everything I saw Martika, I thought she's pretty badass. I mean, I feel like her only downfall is that she kind of stopped. But she, at that point, she had been on Kids Incorporated. She had already had, like, an entire music career. By the time Toy Soldiers was the hit, she had, it wasn't like she was around for 2 years in and out. Like, she had been around for a while. She'd
well,
done
and,
that thing.
And you also have to give her credit where it's like, if you took Kids Incorporated out of the picture, right, and we were just talking about a pop star who kind of came out of nowhere, had a hit in 1989, and then by 91 was like, I'm exhausted, I'm walking away, like, that would be somewhere to be like, but we're talking about a person who was a child star for like, what, 5 years before this happened. I have no doubt she was exhausted and burned out by like having to perform all the goddamn time. So like, I agree with you, like, because of the Kids Incorporated aspect is really important in that whole like walking away after the second album, because man, especially 80s child stars, they didn't give a shit about those kids.
And she was killing it on Kids Incorporated. Like, she's just singing Pat Benatar and the Go-Go's and every difficult possible female song. She's just slinging them. And I pulled up a list of all the songs that were covered on Kids Incorporated. It's Ooh. So big, you can't even process it. You know, it Wow. doesn't break down who was the singer, but...
Gotcha. What I would say about it is, I'm gonna be first to say this. I'm giving her a thunder, and I would have gave her a thunder if she finished. I still want everyone to watch the video. If she would have finished filming the More Than You Know music video, and they would have said that's a wrap, and she would have been like, "All right, I'm done. I'm done with music now." I still gave her a thunder because she really, really danced so hard. She danced for an entire lifetime of dancing in that one music video, let alone all her live performances and everything. She really put it all out there. Martika, if you're listening, so much thunder. I thought you brought so, so much thunder. So that's my call on this one. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'm also going with thunder. Also, one last thing about the Kids Incorporated show, just because when will I ever get to mention this weird fact? But for you Bloodhound Gang fans out there, their first album features a cover of the Kids Incorporated theme for no real reason.
Wow, I do love that theme song.
Yeah, I mean, my only regret is not picking a song that leads to a good debate at the end, because it is my favorite part of the show when it's all this subjective talk about if the song's thunder or blunder. But you're not going to hear me use the words blunder and Martika in the same sentence. Thunder all the way.
Hell yeah, man.
The This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Fafalios of the bands Punchline Pack and Another Cheetah and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing The Getaway off the Punchline album 37 Everywhere. Visit punchline.com for merch, tour dates, and news. Do you want to start a podcast? Then contact Chris and I at weknowpodcasting.com for how we can make your show sound as professional as possible. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. And tune in next week for another episode of One Hit Thunder.
Got to deal with, we all saw it coming. For now, let's just pretend to be the best attempted best friends. Follow the leader until they stray.
Listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hey everyone, this is Tuck from Fit for a King, an off-road minivan. Every week I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen, and wherever you get your podcasts.